Just this week, we heard of some individuals in a retirement community there at Prince of Peace that came down with COVID-19. And as they have come down with this terrible disease, one of them has passed away. I think it's three individuals total, and one has passed away. It's very personal to me because my wife works over there in the Prince of Peace campus. And she had been over 18 days since she was in that spot where they were at. But nonetheless, her heart goes out for the community, and my heart goes out for the community. And so something I want to encourage us to do is, we're always kind of looking for ways to do things and to get involved with things, is to pray for our medical workers, to pray for those that are on the front lines doing the work to take care of and to provide care for those that are the most vulnerable in our society and those that catch this disease. And as more and more people catch it, there's going to be more and more responsibility and taxing that's going to be put on our healthcare workers, and they need to stay healthy. They need the equipment that they need to stay healthy. They need that the masks. They need all the things to stay healthy, and not everything is always available. So I want to encourage us to do something this week. On Tuesday at 6 p.m., I want to encourage us as a church for Hillcrest to go and to pray for the healthcare workers, and to pick a spot to do this that we can keep our distance. I would encourage us to go to the Prince of Peace area, and 52nd Street in Bonson is kind of the corner there, and not to go onto the campus, but you can just stop in our cars around there. If we do get out, keeping a 10-foot distance between each other, and to spend 10 minutes from 6 to 6:10 or so praying for healthcare workers everywhere, and especially those patients that are there at Prince of Peace and the healthcare workers that are there, but healthcare workers everywhere around the country and around the world who are doing the best they can to care for these people. And then we'll go ahead and stream that on Facebook too. So if you're not able to do that, or it's not safe for you to do that, then you can just watch it on Facebook Live. And we will spend that time Tuesday, 6 o'clock, from 6 to 6:10, just praying. And so the things that we can do, we can't be in people's presence, but we can pray for them. And we can maybe be in the area of and still keep them safe, keep ourselves safe, but be able to pray. So I want to encourage us to do that this week if you are able to join us for that. When you think back to when you were a child and you were afraid, maybe you were in bed at night and you were afraid of something, you would call out, calling out for mom, calling out for dad, someone to come. And the option wasn't that someone wouldn't come, because you would just keep calling out louder and louder until someone showed up. I think when we're experiencing fear as adults, as teenagers, as kids, we have this same thing right now where we're wanting to call out and we want help from what's going on. We want answers. We want to know what's going to happen. We want to know what the end game is on this and what's going to happen to us and the people that we love and that we care about. But the people that we lean on, those people that have come to us in the past, are people that we're not able to connect with right now in that physical way. So we need to be there for each other as best as we possibly can. So I am so thankful for technology that allows us to be able to connect with one another like this. I will say this, and I probably never really said this before, but I am thankful because Facebook is a blessing to us. That's right. Pastor Doug said, Facebook is a blessing to the church because they have this platform that exists for us to be able to gather together and to have church. And so it's an important part of our connection and our gathering together, which is why, please submit prayer requests. Please let us know how things are going on, how we can be encouraging you, how we can help, things that we can do, because we want to join with you on that. This Friday, we are still having our Good Friday service. So as Pastor Brian said, that's going to be at 6:30. So you'll be able to join us with Facebook on that. That Easter egg hunt on Minecraft, that's a kind of crazy way to do something, but a great way for kids to get in there and have fun. And then we'll stream that on Facebook as well. So you don't have to be on Minecraft. You can just go onto the Hillcrest site and you can see what's going on and what Minecraft is and what an Easter egg hunt looks like digitally in this Minecraft world that we've created. And then, of course, Easter Sunday, 10 a.m., we're going to have services, and we're going to have an Easter blast together. And there'll be a time in that service where you can submit those photos of your family, and so have those photos ready. Be ready for that, because we want to celebrate that together. Something new that I'm going to be trying as well is on the on Thursdays, I believe. That's the day I'm going to be shooting for is Thursdays. We're going to be launching something called Hillcrest Live, in which myself, Pastor Brian possibly, other guests that we might have through telephone calls where we can put them, you know, kind of up here in this box and talk to people. We're going to do a short kind of broadcast, I'd say, in which we're going to talk about things we talked about in the message or things that are coming up, current event issues. We're going to have some fun in this thing as well, but a great way for us to, again, connect, and it will be live, so you'll be able to comment right there on that show, and so we're going to be working really hard on that to put that together, and that will start the week after Easter. So a lot of things to look forward to. But when it comes to the fear that we are experiencing, there's kind of two sides to fear. There's one part of fear that helps us stay okay. You know, if you're afraid of something, sometimes that's a good thing because it helps you make choices and do things differently so that you stay safe. But the other side of fear is not healthy for us or not very good, because the other side of fear defines fear, I think, as well as any statement might define it, and it's this: what you fear reveals where you trust God the least. So what you fear reveals where you trust God the least. You see, fear is one of those things that can rob our joy. That one's not on there, Vaughn. Vaughn's looking for a slide that I've got there. But, you know, fear can really rob us of the joy that we have, the things that we like, the things that give us hope. Fear can rob us of those things. And I want to kind of confront this idea today and suggest to you this idea, is that fear in itself is irrational when it comes to our faith. Fear is irrational, because what we call fear could be dealt with in such a way that maybe it could help us avoid bad things that no longer grip us in fear, but things like the flu or the coronavirus, COVID-19, these were words that have brought fear to ourselves, brought fear to the world. And this fear has landed on all of our doorsteps. But there's a truth that we all need to grab a hold of in this. So I want to share a verse for you. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. So whether or not you know what fear is, or whether you know why you have fear, there is one thing that you can know for sure. Fear does not come from God. And let that sink in just for a second. Fear does not come from God. And my prayer for all of us today is that you and I would quit living in fear. And I'm saying that at a time when the most fear that we've experienced globally is existing all together at the same time. But to stop living in that fear, it's a tall order, but it's my hope and it's my prayer for you and for my family, for all of us, that we would stop living in this fear, because fear does not come from God. So let's define, what is fear? In some ways, I'd say fear is the opposite of faith. What I mean when I say fear is the opposite of faith is, if you look deeper into this, fear is in some ways actually a type of faith. Fear can be a type of faith. It's a faith in the things that cause fear. So I'm believing that this thing is going to be bad, so I'm putting my faith in this, and that fear becomes my faith. But again, fear doesn't come from God, but it's a faith that we interject in our lives, and we believe something to be true, and we start to fear that thing because we put our faith in that thing. Fear is placing faith in the what ifs. So that's a thought for you this morning. Fear is placing faith in the what ifs. What if this? What if that? You know, what if this happens? What if that happens? And, when we're asking those questions, we're never asking good things, right? We're always asking, what if this bad thing happens? And what if that bad thing happens? When you look in the scriptures, Moses, pretty awesome guy in the scriptures, and sure, he had some issues. In fact, Pastor Brian, where is Moses in the in the lineup for our fantasy.
He's been in the Final Four.
Final Four. Yeah, so if you're playing along with that, the Hillcrest Madness, where you have the Bible characters kind of matching up, Moses is still in there, so he's going to make it to the Final Four. But he is an awesome guy. I'm voting for Moses. I think he can go all the way. He can beat out Mary for sure. No? Them is fighting words for some people out there. Yeah, Neil Simons wants to have the laugh track back. We'll work on it, Neil. But Pastor Brian just asked for a boo track, so no boo track. But Moses, he made some issues and mistakes over the years. He grew and he learned from both his mistakes as well as the lessons that God taught him. And early on in his story, God shows up to give Moses his calling. And Moses plays the what-if game with God. In Exodus 4:1, it says, "But Moses protested again. What if they won't believe or listen to me? Or what if they say the Lord has never appeared to you?" God told Moses that he would be with him, and Moses said, "What if?" God says, "I will be with you." Moses said, "What if? What if?" And aren't we all asking the what if questions? What if I lose my job? What if I get the virus? What if I lose someone that I love and I care about? What if this lasts till October? What if? The truth is that bad things can and will happen in this life. Bad things can and will happen to me. Bad things can and will happen to people you love. Bad things can and will happen to you. But fear is placing faith in those what ifs. That's what we have to fight against. I mean, why do your what ifs matter? Why do we have these what ifs in the first place? I mean, think about it. Why does a what if matter? Why do we ask this question about our fears? I'm going to give you a couple reasons that I think that they matter, and maybe they'll match up with some of the responses that you might have. What you fear reveals what you value the most. That's my first thought with this, is that what you fear will reveal in your life what it is that you value the most. So let me explain this here. If you fear losing someone you love to COVID-19, if that's a fear that you have, then you value that relationship with that person. So the fear that you might lose them reveals the thing that you value, which is that relationship with that person that you care about. Otherwise, you wouldn't fear losing the person. It's not like we want anyone to be harmed by this virus, but there are people that you don't know, that you are not connected with, and if something happens to them, it's not good, you're not happy about it, but it would feel very different than if it's someone that you have a relationship with and that you care about. You fear more the people you love getting hurt than other people getting hurt, and that's because it's what you value. These are the relationships that you value, and that's why you can have a fear with that, and you have these what-if questions. I mean, think about it. What are your fears? And do they fit that reason for having the fear? This is not a bad thing. This is a good thing in many ways. When it comes to our family, we have fears about our family because we love our family. When it comes to our security in life, the things that make us feel okay, that make things all right, it's okay that those are things that we concern ourselves with and that we value. When it comes to our lives and the lives of others, we value that. That is a good thing. And when it comes to our connection, we don't want to lose connection with people. That's a good thing. And these are all good things to value. These are all honorable things to value. These are important things that we need to value together. But the other side of the coin, as I said earlier, the other side of that coin that defines this idea of fear is that what you fear also reveals where you trust God the least. So, you know, what you fear can reveal what you value the most, but what you fear also reveals where you trust God the least. This is hard for us to accept, but it's so true. Because we put our faith in this fear, in this thing, and God says, "I want you to put your trust, your faith in me." Because if we put our faith in God, then we would trust him. But when we don't put our faith, our trust in him, but we leave it to the fear, it reveals where we're not trusting God. It's kind of a byproduct of it. I mean, if you fear that you'll lose, you know, your marriage, or you fear that you could lose something with your kids or your health or your security, the challenge is that we're not really trusting God with those areas when we let fear step in and live within ourselves. So what do you do with this fear? I'm going to admit I have it. There's fear that I have. I'm fighting against it, but it's there. It's right at the surface. And all it takes is some crazy statistic or some piece of information that gets out there. And I tell you, if you had me hooked up to a blood pressure cuff or you had some machine hooked up to me, you would see fear in a physical way in my body as I'm trying to deal with this information that's coming my way. But what do you do with fear? And could it be true that you and I have areas in our lives that we are not trusting God with? And maybe we would say that we are, but in truth, we are not. In my own life, I fear failure. I feel not I'm falling short when I don't measure up to my expectations or expectations of others. These last 3 weeks with the streams that have been happening each and every week, and some of them have been just so terrible, you can't even listen to them. And I fear that kind of failure. I want to do well. I want to get our message out there. I want us to be able to connect and to be able to be with each other and to hear each other and to continue to build relationships. And if I can't create that, I fear the failure of that. And I really do start to fear that. Because I value meeting people's needs. I value meeting the needs of others. And sometimes I don't trust God to meet the needs. I think it's me that has to meet the need. And so it reveals where I have a lack of trust and faith in God, that he can handle our connection, that he can protect the church, that he can keep us together, even if, you know, we are having a challenge in all of this. Even if I fall short, God can still step into this. I mean, we fear things like giving the virus to other people. Some of you have been commenting that right here online. You know, it's not just whether we're going to get it, but we fear that we're going to give it to somebody else. But the ugly truth is that sometimes that fear means we're not trusting God in what we can trust God with. So we need to face the what-if fears in our lives. I'm going to give you a couple ways that you can do that. So the first way that you can face those what-if fears is acknowledge your fear. Acknowledge it, that it's there. Acknowledge your fear and choose to trust God. So that's our next one on our screen here. Acknowledge your fear and choose to trust God. And this doesn't mean being stupid out there, all right? There's a fine line between what I'm going to call mature responsibility and then not trusting God. But there's also an ignorance in saying, you know, I don't have to do anything and God somehow is going to just miraculously take care of something. Like I can just step off the edge of a cliff and somehow I'm not going to fall. God has given you and given me a brain, and so we use our brain, but we have to have faith. We have to trust God in the things that are outside of our control as well. Those things that are in our control, we trust God, and those things outside of our control, we need to trust God. But we do the best we can in trusting God in our situation. There is a tension there. Because there are some churches that are still meeting today. There are still churches that are out there gathering together with hundreds and thousands of people all in the same gathered space. And they're saying to the rest of us that we lack faith in God because they believe in a God that will protect them all from this virus. And that's why they continue to gather together. And the problem is people in those congregations are contracting the virus and spreading it to one another because they're gathering together. And that is an ignorant thing to do because we know that's how it spreads. So we have to do what we can do, knowing that we have to distance ourselves, but at the same point, we have to trust God in our lives and the lives of those that we love, whether it's us being concerned that we're getting it or whether it's somebody else that might be getting it from us. You know, God gave us brains, and he gave us brains not to do reckless things and then just expect that God somehow would keep us from all harm. Because really, there really isn't an end to all the things we could do to protect ourselves, right? I mean, eventually you're living in a bubble. Eventually, you know, you've cut yourself off from your family, your friends, and from everyone, and you're in some bubble out in the middle of nowhere. And even in that, there's probably some way that you could contract this virus. So there's a fine line in what we can do, what's reasonable, what works, and still being able to live life, and the reality that this is something that many of us are going to catch, and we're going to have to love and care for each other in that. But I think that's where that fear can kind of build in on us. We need to follow the guidelines that we're given. We need to follow the orders that are given to us so that we can keep each other safe and keep ourselves safe. Limit the risk as best we can. I want to look at something that David had to say about fear and about trusting God. Now, we've talked quite a bit about David over the years, and David, if you'll remember, was anointed by Saul to be the next king. But Saul was still the king, and Saul didn't like that David was anointed to be the next king, because Saul wasn't done being king and had no intention of stepping down from being king. And Saul began to despise David because of this calling on his life, and he despised him to the point of deciding to hunt him down and kill him. So Saul was going to just do away with David, and David was against Saul and his entire powerful stretch of his arm, from his army to everybody in the land. And so David had this today. You know, what would David do? This is what he said in Psalm 56, 2 through 4. David said, "I am constantly hounded by those who slander me, and many are boldly attacking me." Verse 3, catch this. He says, "But when I am afraid, I will put my trust in you. I praise God for what he has promised, and I trust in God. So why should I be afraid?" I wish I could be like David, right? David had fear. And David had fear for a really, really good reason. But he made a choice to trust God in the midst of what seemed like insurmountable odds. David made a choice. He had a choice to make. He could have chose fear, or he could have chose trusting God. David chose to trust God. It's not that David didn't do anything, right, to secure his safety and make sure that he wasn't killed. I mean, David did all that he could do. But he did not fear in the face of the danger. And he chose to trust that God would help him through guidance and divine intervention. In any way that God wanted to, he trusted that God would show up when God needed to show up for him. But I think David is also, in this verse, he's thinking eternally here. He's not just thinking physically here, but he's thinking like, God's got me no matter what. No matter what Saul does to me, no one can take me from, you know, I'm not going to slip through God's hands. Like, he has got me secure no matter what. Because even if Saul got to David, it wasn't going to matter. Because David is eternally okay. God was going to honor David, even if the worst happens. You see, the closer you and I get to God, the less we're going to fear the what-ifs. So that's the encouragement, is to get closer to God in all of this. The further we are from God, the more we're going to fear the what-ifs. The more we're guided by what the media says, the more fear will build into us. So we don't turn it off. We don't ignore it. We need to be wise and understand what's happening. But we need to turn to God for our security. We need to turn to God for the things that we can't control and the fears and the worries that we have, and trust him, just like David did. So the next way that we face our what-ifs is to seek God until he takes away your fears. Until is probably not the best word here, because we want to seek God no matter what. But if you are having fears, I'm going to encourage you, seek God, because there will come a point in time as you seek him that he will take away your fears. So if you're having fear and you want that fear to go away, seek God until he makes that fear go away, and then stay with God, because he will keep that fear at bay, because you will start to understand and believe and trust that there's something greater than what is happening in our world today. And that God is able, more so and bigger and above than what someone else might be worried about or fearful about, or things that you have been fearful about. The ways that we do this, very simple. Read the Bible. Spend some time reading God's word, 15 minutes each day at a minimum, just trying to connect and understand what it is that God has to say to you, and spend time in prayer, conversation with God, telling him what's going on in your life. TK had a great message this last Wednesday, and if you didn't listen to it, please do. You don't have to be a 180 student. They're right there on the Facebook page, but listen to what TK had to say, because he took us through a bit of a, a plan for prayer, using the word acts for adoration and confession and thanksgiving and supplication. He did a great job teaching that, and so that could be an encouragement to you as a way to start to pray through this and to connect with God in this way to remove those fears. But you also need to be in community with others. You're holed up in your house, I know that, but connect with others. Whether it be like right now as we're talking on Facebook, submitting some prayer requests through, messaging other people. These are some ways that we can come together and support one another and be in community with each other and attend worship. You're doing that now because you're watching the video. Stay connected with God and worship and ask for God's help in your life. Psalm 34:4 says this. I prayed to the Lord, and he answered me, and he freed me from all my fears. I would say if you have not seen yet or discovered yet your COVID-19 Bible verse, I just read it for you. If I were going to suggest a verse that, you tattoo on your body, this is it. There's one you need to write on your mirror, this is it. I prayed to the Lord, he answered me, and he freed me from all my fears. Because I think you and I want to be freed from these fears, and we want to trust God. I'm going to invite the worship team to come up. They're going to close us in a song here in a few minutes, but as they come up, I want to remind you of a couple of things here. Aristotle said these words. He said, he who has overcome his fears will truly be free. Because, you see, when you have fear, you're imprisoned to that fear. And when you can remove that fear, you can become free from that fear. Fear traps you, and fear shapes your perspectives, and fear will point you in a path of imprisonment to that fear. You see, it is not bad in our world today. What's going on in our world today? Our world is not bad. Things that are going on we may not like, things that are going on may be causing trouble in our world, but our world is not bad. Our world is good. And the challenge we face in it today is not a simple one, because the challenges we face in our world today have grave realities. But the fear is not the truth. It's not the truth that followers of Jesus need to live in, because we know that there's another truth. Followers of Christ know there is another truth other than this fear that's in front of us. And when I fear, when I struggle with fear, I commit in those moments to pause and to remind myself that God is still on the throne, that he is still in control, that he is still all powerful. I remind myself that God has got this, even though I don't know what it's going to look like, but God's got this. And I want you to know, you can trust this too, that God knows, that God is in the middle of your fear, of all that encompasses what that is. God is right there in the middle of it, and God has it. He's got it. And if he has it, you can trust him to deal with it. You know, God loves your kids more than you do. God loves your aging parents more than you do. God loves anything, any relationship, any person more than you do, because he created them. They are his. And so you love them. Know that he does too. And God is also in love with you. He knows what lies ahead. Nothing that is in your future is a mystery to him. Nothing in your future will shock him or surprise him. And he cares about more about what happens to you in your life than you could ever care about. He's got it, and God will get you through. In 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline." I want you to remember this verse. But what if? But what if? Look, focusing on fear does not change the outcome, does it? Does focusing on fear change the outcome of the thing that you fear about? It only makes it harder. See, you are going to go through this. You are. You and I are going to go through this. And you can't control what you can't control. As much as you may want to, you cannot control what you can't control. And when you fear it, fear is not going to help you. I only know one way to get through difficult times in my life, and I've been through a few. And the difficult times in my life, the only way I know to get through the difficult events in my life, the only way to get through pain, the only way I know is to walk through it. I've got a journey. I've got to go through it. And I would rather walk through pain with the God of the universe that knows the path through it than to walk with the hopeless fear that is blind to the way out of it. We're going to go through it. I don't want to catch this virus, but I very may well catch it. And God will see me through it. Even if this virus took my life, I am secure in God's arms. I'm okay. The economy may crash, and there may no longer be enough giving to support a vocational pastor like me, but that's okay, because God's got it. God knows the way through. He knows the way through all of my worries and fears, and he knows his way through all your worries and fears. There is nothing that you and I cannot go through that God does not already know the way through. And it is in this I have hope. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of love and of power and of self-discipline. Now, if you agree with me on this, you had better be typing amen in the comments. Every one of you, type amen if you agree. Heart it, smiley face it, because we're going to close with a song, and I want you to have the hope that God wants us to have. I want you to turn from the fear and turn to trust. You're not going to control this, but he knows it. You don't know what's going to happen. He does. You don't know what's going to happen to you and your family and your friends. You don't know what's going to happen to your job. You don't know what's going to happen to business. You don't know what's going to happen to the economy. You don't know. God does. He's going to walk you and me through it.
Your breath in our love, so we pour out.
go to a time of prayer. And as we get ready to do that, one of our prayer requests that came through is for Trish Ringold's son, Zach, who's in the hospital now. Not able to see him due to, you know, all the things that are going on with the restrictions for the virus. And so we want to be praying for Trish and for her son. And also, Dina put a prayer request through for her friend Patty, who's having heart surgery. She's all alone in that as well. Challenges that you don't even realize when it comes through what surgeries are available, but then who can you have by your side to give you that support and that encouragement. So as a church family, as a church body, we can pray and we can encourage and we can support in that way too. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for your love and for your grace. And we pray that you will help us to be a people who do not live in fear, but live in trust of you. That as we interact with our world that is so afraid of so much and so many of the unknowns, that we can be that light in the darkness, that we can be that encouragement to others to say that God has got this. It doesn't mean that everything's going to be perfect and everything's going to work out just like you want it to, but that God will walk you through whatever it is, that he will join us, that he is with us, that he guides us, that he knows us, and that he loves us, that he cares about us, that he will be there, that he will never leave us, and that we would rather, as a people, walk through our difficult moments with the one who knows the way, than with the fear and the hopelessness that doesn't know the way out. So God, it is my prayer that you will help us as a church to remember this, to know this, and to trust in you in all things. That even when everything seems out of control, that we can trust you to provide and to help and to be there for us as you promised that you would be. We love you, and we thank you for the truth we can have in your word. And we thank you, Lord, for bringing us together in ability to worship together in this very unique way. And we give you the praise, and you the honor, and you the glory. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Well, this week, we got some, it'd be an interesting week seeing how things unfold. Again, we're going to try Tuesday at 6 to go and to pray around Prince of Peace, keeping our distancing from one another. If there's some mandate that comes out that keeps us from being able to do that, we will get that out on Facebook as well. But we're going to shoot for trying that and being a part of that. My daughter is on Facebook watching today and commented that I owe her $20 because I mentioned her in my sermon. For those of you that don't know, it's a little rule that I have. If I use my kids in one of my messages, I pay them money. Well, that's what you get for being online and watching. You get paid. So we hope that you have an amazing week. We are looking forward to connecting with you in so many different ways and celebrating as we get ready this Holy Week for Easter Sunday. Join us Friday for our Good Friday service, and we will see you again 10 o'clock Easter morning. God bless you all. Thank you for coming and being with us today and being a part of church. God bless you. You can go on with your day. You're dismissed.